you turn with me this morning to the 27th chapter of Proverbs. There are two verses in this book, and the book is so in depth and so rich that I almost feel guilty reading a chapter a day in it. I know by doing so, I am not giving justice to every verse herein. If you can attain unto the words that the wise man has set down, you will be attaining unto wisdom, which ought to be your chief pursuit. Gold, it'll perish. Silver, do you no good. But wisdom first and foremost will stay with you. I want to read to you verse number 12 and then some in the 31st chapter and then a couple of other places. The Lord helping, I'd like to speak to you on a prudent man foreseeth the evil. I'll be dealing with the whole text, Lord permitting, but I'll just use those first six words to title it. And everybody here is going to walk out a simple person or one pursuing on to know God, discern times, and become wise and sensible to the day in which you live. Would you pray with me? Our Father, we thank you for your mercy shown us thus far. And I trust that thy Spirit will make the words spoken as we were challenged and Lord, as we ask, I do not know if it was sincere, but Lord, you know every heart. When we ask you to tear every idol, from the place that ought to be thy throne and thine alone. And that's not going to be easy for us. Because we may have many idols and pass on as a simple person. I pray you'll help these dear souls exalt Christ. And as your word goes forth to some others, bless it to their hearts. And now, Lord, grant us that by thy works within, you have our mind and you have our heart and you have our attention. Give help in a right exposition. And even beyond that, personal application. We pray in Christ's name for his honor and for his glory. Amen. A prudent man foreseeth the evil. All I want to deal with, to start with, close out with hideth himself, and in between, speak to you about the simple pass on and are punished. There is no parent that we know of. Of course, my circle is not as big as yours now. But it would be a rare thing to hear of a parent that would deliberately put their child in a situation where their life was in danger. But none of us, no matter how much we try, we never know what a day may bring forth upon them, to them. And we also know that we can't control every circumstance in their life. But here's a point in this. The things that you faced growing up, the mistakes, the error of your way, the uncaring about others, mainly caught up with self, all these things that you personally faced growing up, you now know them, and they become the things that you can guard against in your children till they are no longer under the control of you. The word prudent means sensible. It also is translated subtle. Now you would not think that that would apply to a child of God, but it does. We become very subtle and wise in the ways of Satan. You learn, and we are not ignorant of his devices. Years will teach you that. So you become sensible, and experience taught you that there was danger in something. And whatever you found out to be danger, you've set a fence as much as is possible around your children so that they cannot get beyond that fence. A child, young child, sees no danger in anything. They'll try it if somebody challenges them to do it. Can't be any harm in it. A child, younger years, are not concerned about tomorrow. They're not concerned about life beyond today. And it takes them growing so that the day does not become as important to them as the hopes and dreams they have of tomorrow. And they lose the day because they can't wait to get 16 and then 21 and then married and have a family, and they lose a great part of their years in growing up in anticipation of tomorrow. Be ye as little children. Now, wise as serpents, discerning the time, seeing that there could be danger in a lot of things, but be ye as children, in that today is that God has given you. Tomorrow doesn't count. It's not even in the picture. You think these little boys are concerned about tomorrow? They're concerned about 12 o'clock and getting out and going playing with each other. And all of us get wrapped up in tomorrow and we lose the day. A little child is simple-minded in that these things tomorrow do not cross their mind. But a prudent parent, sensible, subtle, wise, considers for them. Here's where you can go, and here is the extent. The line's drawn out here, and you can't cross it. Now that's a man or woman that by experience knows beyond that line is danger. Now a few verses in Proverbs 31. In the 10th verse, Solomon asked a question. Who can find a virtuous, that is a valiant, a strong? It's used one time by the word army. That's how strong and valiant a virtuous woman is. That's how efficient she rules over her children and over her household. the heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. Old saying, I heard my dad on several occasions talking about what he'd got from his father. Having come up in difficult days, said that a woman can throw more out the back door than a man can bring it in, can bring in the front door by his labor. Not here. Not a virtuous woman. Her husband knows. She'll take care. The children, she'll take care of that I bring in to provide for them. And she will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant ships. She bringeth her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night. Sleep would be easier for her. Yet she rises in the dark seasons and gives meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. She considereth the field and buyeth it with the fruit of her hand. She planteth a vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. Now that's what a virtuous woman is, means she's a strong woman. She is as an army guarding over her children and over that which her husband has provided. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. Doesn't matter how dark it is around her, and it doesn't matter how dark it may be in her own heart. As far as any light being shed, her candle burns for those children, for a household. She layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. She stretcheth out her hands to the poor, yea, she reacheth forth the hands to the needy. She is not afraid of snow outside circumstances. Outside conditions do not affect a virtuous woman. For her household, no matter what God sends, she's not afraid of the snow. Because she knows that in her time down from other duties that she's made clothing for her children. And she'll always be a light. Now back to a prudent man. A prudent man foresees, that is, he perceives, he considers, and he looks at that appears to be. Give you another example in this, Acts 27. Acts 27, verse number 10, Paul talking. Sirs, I perceive I've got discernment. I know what's going to happen. I considered these things. Paul was a prudent man, and perceiving what was going to take place, he said, this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only of the lading and ship, but also of our lives. Nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship. They knew what sailing was. They knew the course they were taking. It had been safe thus far, and Paul said, you're going to lose your cargo, and all of us may lose our lives, but folk will always take science and reasoning above God's warnings. And we evaluate tomorrow on how things are today. That's a simple man. A prudent man, looking beyond the events and circumstances, sees what tomorrow may hold. A prudent man foresees the evil, the wickedness, the afflictions, the grievous things that are coming upon us, and evil also means bad, unpleasant, or that which is causing great pain and misery. And something about evil days, they are malignant. Now, as I continue and speak about the evil around us, you, with a personality as an eternal optimist, you will, in your mind, accuse me of being a cynical pessimist. You're always looking at the bad. But listen, folks, every new generation looks at the preceding generation as being out of date. Your children think you're out of date if they've come to a certain age. And the generation on God's earth now, latter one, looks at whatever is gone and says it wasn't worth having. Because if it was worth having, it wouldn't be gone. And that's this generation. When I began reaching my mid-teens, I knew everything. And I couldn't figure out why my dad wasn't as smart as me, and why he held on to some of the old and did some of the things he did. And I've been trying to figure out ever since I began to get into my late 20s and early 30s where he went to school and what he learned, because when I reached that age, he had become a lot smarter. And I don't know where he got it. Well, I really am joking with you about that. It's not that he became smarter. I began to see that I didn't know everything and wasn't as smart as I thought I was when I was a teenager. Well, George Chapman, poet, along with other things, he had a lot of little quaint, good sayings. Raised over in England, was professor there at a couple of those noted universities. And one of his sayings was, young men think old men are fools, and old men know that young men are fools. Prudent man has discernment, and he hides himself. But before we get to that, I want you to think about the simple. And that is foolish, the foolish, and the open-minded ones, and those that are naive as showing a lack of informed judgment. They just pass on. And they never give a thought to tomorrow, in a sense of it might be a little worse. And they pass on. Everything's all right. They're open-minded about everything. They're not an old cynical pessimist trying to get their attention. There were five wise virgins, and there were five simple, open-minded, foolish virgins. And the five foolish virgins proved that they were such by the end result which they faced. They passed through life without a lack with a lack of informed judgment. They never stopped to think. Got a lamp, got oil, got everything everybody else has that professes to be a Christian. But the prudent man or woman, the sensible man or woman, will spend their lifetime judging self as to the certainty and reality of the profession which they've made. You all right? So you don't know that. Well, you might have, and they said, hope. That hope might diminish tomorrow as you see your old nature taking charge. Well, the preacher said I was all right because I did thus and thus. And as far as I can tell, there is not a bit of difference between me and anyone else that claims to be a Christian. Well, you better back off that kind of thinking. a delusion, whether it is due to one's willful blindness, whether it is brought on by Satan blinding the minds of those that believe not, or if it is of God sending a strong delusion to those that do not love the truth. I don't know what it might be, but I know this: delusion will accompany a great multitude all the way to the very gate of heaven and into the presence of God. And they will know why God Himself doesn't see in them what they've done. Now, you're talking about blindness and simple-mindedness and us acting like Peter. I don't care what you say, Lord. I'm not going to deny you. I don't care what the preacher says. I know I'm all right. Delusion will follow most professing Christians unless God comes back on the scene. Now, I cannot tell you what all this evil will entail and how it will affect us, but I can read to you and have you read along with me 2 Timothy chapter 3. And it is not of my making what the evil is. You are already told here. 2 Timothy chapter 3, this know also that in the last days perilous, dangerous, fierce, hard to bear. And that speaks so to my life every day about the times which we're in. Perilous times shall come. For men, women, boys, and girls shall be lovers of their own self. Their enemies are those that do not respect them as they think they ought to. Lovers of their own selves. No one has a right to demand of me, for I am right. No man has a right to criticize me, for I know I'm all right. Lovers of self, covetous. And folk, that's not always a dollar bill. That's covetous of a name that you can attain to in society. Look at me, and look at all those that I have passed by on the road to my name in society. Covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, most ungrateful, unthankful generation that's ever been. The church owes them, the government owes them, the wife owes them, the husband owes them, the children owe them, or mom and dad owe them. And they don't appreciate a thing they got. Unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce despisers of those that are good. Traitors, headache, go on and read the rest of it. Sometime later. And see if God might perhaps make one of those things stick in your craw, and you find yourself there. A prudent man or woman is a sensible man or woman, understanding the times right now. A prudent person is one that not only believes what Paul wrote, but sees that we're already entering in to the very beginning of those days. We see evil on every hand. Murder of children, murder of parents, it's out there every day. But none of us have seen evil reach a potential that it can and will, nor have any of us seen evil reach us personally. There's not a one of us in danger, our life in danger, because of our profession of faith. Not a one of us. We think it's always going to be like that. Simple-minded do. Our lives makes no difference. And our lives troubles no one. Absolutely no one. We don't have enough of the power of God upon us to make us a different and a peculiar people. We're just like everybody else as far as our profession of faith. They can't tell any difference. The masses that will attend formal services this day are outwardly just like us. And the religious crowd, doesn't persecute us. They might mock you every once in a while where you go. I don't know why you go there. Any place is as good as any other. And we've not had the beast take over to the point that the doors on this building are padlocked. And he's not in control enough that we've had to vacate our scheduled services. It doesn't matter to him when we meet on Wednesday night or Sunday morning. That's how empty our hearts are of the Spirit of God. If you've got the least inclinations of the Spirit of God directing your heart, you better take care of Him in you. The sin that grieved Him to the point that He's left me, but we don't even mourn over that we don't have the Spirit of God. We don't know we don't have Him. When the disciples, and prior to this, Jesus told them, the world cannot hate you. It hates me, but there's not enough difference in you and the world that at this point, it cannot hate you. It hates me. But when the disciples were filled with the Holy Ghost, great persecution arose upon all Christians. And Paul's message was so pointed and direct by the Spirit of God that the religious crowd and leaders said, away with him. We will not have this kind of man preaching to us. He was run out. And that's one of the easier things that happened to him. Beaten, I think 3 times, with 39 stripes. Stoned, I don't know how many times. In jail. Because his message offended the religious crowd. And they ended up going to a house next door to the synagogue to hold their services. And if you read carefully the New Testament, you'll find out Paul writes in several places to a church that meets in a certain house. They didn't have anywhere they could go. And they had a few friends around and a few neighbors around that they could meet. And they didn't have a preacher every time they met. They waited on Paul to come back, or Timothy to get there, Titus, or some of the others. Folk, the only man that was prudent in the time when God was about to destroy every living creature. The only man that saw the flood coming was an old man in the younger generation. It's been like this ever since we got in the world, therefore it must be right. I think it was C.S. Lewis, long gone, that wrote about the generation on the face of the earth rejecting everything that is not known historically. And he was talking about the flood and the city of David and them finding that stronghold of the Jebusites. And he said, archaeologists are now proving that the younger generations that followed didn't have a leg to stand on in throwing out all this that they threw out. There's only one man in all of the world that knew a famine was coming. And if God had not set him up as second ruler over all Egypt, the Egyptians would have danced like grasshoppers in the summertime in the 7 years of plenty. Boy, God's really blessing us. And you know why the 7 thin cows and the 7 ears of corn blasted so small? You know why that troubled Pharaoh? Because there had never been a bad crop down there. And they didn't know what thin cows were. And one man that God gave wisdom knew what was coming. The simple look at things and sees everything's all right. I got bread on the table. I got a good paying job. I got a savings account. But it doesn't matter to them that we're living in the years of a famine. Don't hear the word of God anymore. Folk, when I say that we're living in the years of a famine of hearing the Word of God, that does not mean that there are not a great number of people that do not have, every time they meet, presented to them the Word of God. It textually is correct. Theologically, it is right. Systematically, they're all okay. But what the years of famine means is that God's not speaking to hearts. There's no word from heaven to our souls. And the vast majority of professing Christians, all they hear is the audible voice of a preacher. Neither can they get beyond the words on the printed page called Holy Scripture as far as detecting the voice of God to their soul. I got bread now. I got money in the bank. Everything's fine. God's blessed us for the last number of years. And that doesn't mean you have bread tomorrow. There's coming a day, I don't know if I'll see it, there's coming a day that your dollar bill won't be worth anything. And your savings will vanish. What happened in our economy when so many of the banks went under? And men who saw that coming became multi-millionaires and billionaires buying up loans. What happened? It's going to happen again. And we've used up the land, and we've become so greedy of the dollar bill that we're pushing down trees and blade all the grass to the bare earth, and we're building structures. Come the day when you'll appreciate a natural piece of bread. But you know what? We don't think about that today. Had it all my life. I wish your great-grandmother could come back and tell you about how tough it was in the Depression. Told you about an old black man that I became well acquainted with, even as a friend. And he could not eat turnip greens. And that's usually a trait for them. You know why? 3 times a day, day in and day out, all he had was turnip greens. In our head, that's impossible to happen again. Now, folk, you can remain simple-minded and stick your head in the sand and think, well, because I can't see it, it must not be true. And you can remain foolish if you desire to do so. That's not going to take away what's headed our way. And we're already in it. Other countries own more of us now than we own ourselves here in America. If they call in our debt, it would be impossible to pay it. They took out of circulation years ago all the old blue certificate bills because they would print nothing except those, which meant that if you had a dollar or $100 bill, there was gold wherever they had it stored to take care of that dollar bill or that $100 bill. Now, they took away the blue certificate and they put on the back a green seal, which meant that we outspent what we had. So you remain simple-minded and foolish if you want to and pass through life as if everything's all right and tomorrow will be as today, or you can get on your face before God and pray for discernment because you don't know what's coming your way. No more than I can't personally say here's the things that's going to happen. I do know they're on the way. I've got that much discernment of the time in which we live. Well, you can do something about your simple-mindedness and face up to reality, or you can go on living as the majority of Christians, quote unquote, live. I tell you another old saying from several centuries back. The majority is N-E-V-E-R right. Why do you think Israel wanted a king? Be like everybody else. Why do you think we feel democracy is the greatest thing that ever happened to us? All we've done is vote in those candidates that promised us the most. And we'll swallow their lie, hook, line, sinker. And deep down there's something within you telling you, you know they can't do what they tell you they're going to do. That's how simple-minded America has become. I close with this. The prudent man sees evil. Simple, just pass on. But the prudent man hides himself. Does that mean I quit work? Move into a monastery? Dig a hole in the ground half a mile down? Put everything there I need? No. Never has meant that. All it means is this. A prudent man hides himself. He enters into his chambers and he shuts the doors behind him and he waits there until the indignation of the Lord be overpassed. You better find that secret chamber where God is. You better hide yourself until the indignation of God be overpassed. And if you'll do these things, God might give you enough spiritual bread to travel 40 days and 40 nights without any other word from Him. I don't know, but what it wouldn't be a good thing if every one of us had our Bibles taken away from us. And you'd have to pray to God to have a glimpse within your mind and heart of some of the verses that you've read constantly. All right. I can't say this publicly, but I am saying it publicly because it'll get out. Got a magazine this week directed solely to me. My first big article, Is It Too Late for Revival in America? Because these fellows have heard me say that. So they get all these learned scholars to write for them. But back to where I was. Paul, writing from a jail cell, was asking Timothy for a coat. It's cold in here. And for the parchments, the scriptures. It's good to find God in the book. It's a grand thing to have God open the book and speak to you. But we are beginning to take for granted that when I open the book and read, that's God talking. That could be the furthest thing from the truth. And Paul went on a journey without his Bible because he had found God to be sufficient. I'm not saying throw away your Bible. Heaven forbid that. But I'm telling you, God lives beyond the pages of the book. A prudent man foresees the evil and he hides himself. The simple, the foolish, those void of a lack of judgment, pass on. You fit in one of those two categories. And you still may be simple-minded today, but you're striving towards prudence. That's okay. That's all right. I've been simple-minded most of my life. But I'm striving towards becoming a prudent man for your good and God's honor and glory.